Okay, so the reason I love hysterical readings is because I like reading aloud and I like coming. So it kind of combines those two things, but it's also a way if I want to, record something that doesn't take any preparation or planning or performing. It just me and my book and my vibrator. So I have a wand and I've been doing some yard work today. And I'm sitting at my desk and there's sun streaming down and it's just really pretty and nice. And so I thought maybe this would relax me a little and I hope y'all enjoy it too. So turn on my wand. Ooh. Okay. Let's see here. I'm trying to get the best position. All right, so I'm going to read from Memoirs of a Geisha by Arthur Golden. This is one of my favorite books. Chapter 1. Suppose that you and I were sitting in a quiet room overlooking a garden, chatting and sipping at our cups of green tea while we talked about something that had happened a long while ago, and I said to you, "That afternoon when I met so-and-so was the very best afternoon of my life, and also the very worst afternoon." I expect you might put down your teacup and say, "Well, now, which was it? Was it the best or the worst? Because it can't possibly have been both." Ordinarily, I'd have to laugh at myself and agree with you. But the truth is that the afternoon when I met Mr. Tanaka Ishiro really was the best and the worst of my life. He seemed so fascinating to me. Even the fish smell on his hands was a kind of perfume. If I had never known him, I'm sure I would not have become a geisha. I wasn't born and raised to be a Kyoto geisha. I wasn't even born in Kyoto. I'm a fisherman's daughter from a little town called Yoroido on the Sea of Japan. In all of my life, I've never been told more than a handful of people... In all my life, I've never told more than a handful of people anything about Yoroido, or about the house in which I grew up, or about my mother and father, or my older sister, and certainly not about how I became a geisha or what it was like to be one. Most people would much rather carry on with their fantasies that my mother and grandmother were geisha, and that I began my training in dance when I was weaned from the breast, and so on. As a matter of fact, one day, many years ago, I was pouring a cup of sake for a man who happened to mention that he had been in Yoroido only the previous week. Well, I felt as a bird must feel when it has flown across the ocean and comes upon a creature that knows its nest. I was so shocked I couldn't stop myself from saying, "Yoroido? Why, that's where I grew up." This poor man, his face went through the most remarkable series of changes. He tried his best to smile, though it didn't come out well because he couldn't get the look of shock off his face. "Yoroido," he said. "You can't mean it." I long ago developed a very practiced smile, which I call my no smile. No smile, because it resembles a no mask whose features are frozen. Its advantage is that men can interpret it however they want. You can imagine how often I've relied on it. I decided I'd better use it just then, and of course it worked. He let out all his breath and tossed down the cup of sake I'd poured for him before giving an enormous laugh I'm sure was prompted more by relief than anything else. "The very idea," he said with another big laugh. "You, growing up in a dump like Yoroido, that's like making tea in a bucket." And when... when he'd laughed again, he said to me, "That's why you're so much fun, Sayuri-san. Sometimes you almost make me believe your little jokes are real. I don't much like thinking of myself as a cup of tea made in a bucket, but I suppose in a way it must be true. After all, I did grow up in Yoroido, and no one would suggest it's a glamorous spot. Hardly anyone ever visits it. As for the people who live there, they never have occasion to leave. You're probably wondering how I came to leave it myself. That's where my story begins. Sort of grinding on it here. Try to hold it with one hand, so it's pressing my clit. But I'm also sort of like into the story, so it's hard to focus. I don't know if I want to focus on the story or on this wand. In our little fishing village of Yoroido, I lived in what I called a tipsy house. It stood near a cliff where the wind off the ocean was always blowing. As a child, it seemed to me as if the ocean had caught a terrible cold because it was always wheezing, and there would be spells when it let out a huge sneeze, which is to say there, was a burst of wind with a tremendous spray. I had decided our tiny house must have been offended by the ocean sneezing in its face from time to time. God, and took to leaning back because it wanted to get out of the way. Probably it would have collapsed if my father hadn't cut a timber from a wrecked fishing boat to prop up the eaves, which made the house look like a tipsy old man leaning on his crutch. Inside this tipsy house, I lived something of a lopsided life because from my earliest years, I was very much like my mother and hardly at all like my father or my older sister. My mother said it was because we were made just the same, she and I. And it was true, we had the same peculiar eyes of a sort you almost never see in Japan. Instead of being dark brown like everyone else's, my mother's eyes were a translucent gray. Mine are the same. Mine are just the same. When I was very young, I told my mother I thought someone had poked a hole in her eyes and all the ink had drained out, which she thought very funny. The fortune teller said her eyes were so pale because of too much water in her personality, so that the other four elements were hardly present at all, and this, they explained, was why her features matched so poorly. People in the village often said she ought to have been extremely attractive because her parents had been. Well, a peach has a lovely taste, and so does a mushroom, but you can't put the two together. This was the terrible trick nature had played on her. She had her mother's pouty mouth, but her father's angular jaw, which gave the impression of a delicate picture with much too heavy a frame. And her lovely gray eyes were surrounded by thick lashes. It must have been striking on her father, but, My mother always said she'd married my father because she had too much water in her personality and he had too much wood in his. Oh, People who knew my father understood right away what she was talking about. Water flows from place to place quickly and always finds a crack to spill through. Wood, on the other hand, holds fast to the earth. God. Oh. Ugh. Oh. In my father's case, this was a good thing. Good thing, for he was a fisherman. And a man with wood in his personality is at ease on the sea. In fact, my father was more at ease on the sea than anywhere else, and never left it far behind him. God. Fuck. God. He smelled like the sea, even after he had bathed. When he wasn't fishing, he sat on the floor. Oh. In our dark front room, mending a fishing net. No. And if a fishing net had been a sleeping creature, he wouldn't even have awakened it at the speed he worked. He did everything this slowly. Even when he summoned a look of concentration, you could run outside and drain the bath in the time it took him to rearrange his features. His face was very heavily creased, and into each crease. I can't read. And into each crease, he had tucked some worry or another so that it wasn't really his own face any longer, but more like a tree that had nests of birds in all the branches. He had to struggle constantly to manage it and always looked worn out from the effort. When I was 6 or 7, I learned something about my father I'd never known. One day I asked him, "Daddy, why are you so old?" He hoisted up his eyebrows at this so that they formed little sagging umbrellas over his eyes, and oh my gosh. And he let out a long breath and shook his head and said, "I don't know." When I turned to my mother, she gave me a look, meaning she would answer the question for me another time. The following day, without saying a word, she walked me down the hill toward the village and be full, though. I really want to cook inside me. Throbbing and pulsing and thrusting. read anymore. Fuck, I can't read anymore. Are you stroking your cock? Come for me. I think I'm gonna switch. This is getting a little intense. So I'm gonna move. And I don't think I can read anymore. Oh. So maybe this is just going to like devolve into a ramble fast. Finger into my pussy here with a vibrator on my clit, sort of pulsing. You want to know what it feels like? It's wet and strong. I'm squeezing my finger. I was squeezing a cock right now. Yes. Fuck yes. So I want you to fuck me. Yes. God, yes. Oh. I imagine you'd hold this up against my clit while you fuck. My hips. The way I would if yours were there to slap against them every thrust. That's what I want. God, yes. Oh, wow. Oh. Oh my God. So close. Oh, wow. Oh, fuck. My nipples are so hard and small. They need to be sucked. My neck needs to be sucked. And my nipples. My pussy. That too. Oh, God. Oh. 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 Fuck. Oh, fuck. Holy fucking shit. It feels so good. Oh, it feels so good. Oh, I want Oh, yes. Oh, I'm gonna come. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, I want you to come too. Yes, come too. Come on me. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, fuck. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh. Just give me a second. By the way, I can only imagine what the audio quality is on this. Me moving around with my phone, but oh God. Sometimes you just need to change things up, you know. Now, where did you come? Did you come on my tits? On my face? Did you come in my pussy? Did you come all over my back? So I'm kneeling in front of you with my ass on display. What were you thinking? Oh my God. My pussy is just pulsing and like sort of overwhelmed right now. I was pressing on it pretty hard. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed this hysterical reading / ramble fap, and thanks for listening. I'm going to go take a hot shower and get cleaned up, which will, you know, undoubtedly lead to more horny thoughts, but that's for another time. Bye.